Recording in progress.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Arizona, where it's very nice, but we get on to Narcopoco, it's going to be hotter. It's going to be beach weather. We're going to have us a good time. Now, I've interviewed some of the participants and speakers, and it's going to be an interesting year. Now, we have Jeff Berwick on, the Dollar Vigilante. Now, our Narcopoco. Narcopulco.com, Narcapulco.com, Narcopulco.com. Now, Jeff Berwick, the first year that this is done, we've been to several, and Donna's coming with me this year, we'll be emceeing this year, and I'm really glad that Donna's going to get to go and enjoy and meet a lot of the people and so on, but this year seems a little different. You know, Jeff, go ahead and explain to the audience the theme for this year. What's happening? Why? What stage are we there yet? I need to know, are we there yet? So, you know, tell us about this year's Narcopulco, will you, Jeff?
Hey, Ernie, good to talk to you. It's been a few years that we've talked on your show, so I haven't seen you since about 1 year ago when you were emceeing in Narcopulco. So great to talk to you.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to wait to see me. We got OBS update window kind of problem. So we're putting it up to get your pretty face up there so you can, you know, get some good video out of this. Now, the one thing I appreciate it. Introduce yourself to the audience that doesn't know who you are. We've known each other for a while and overlapped on a lot of things. But go ahead. How did you start our Narcopulco? Why did you do it? Why are you down there? What did you leave? You're racing from Canada. Now you're in Mexico. You travel the world. You bring the world to you and to a lot of people come there from around the world. And last year was like, if the Queen was on the money, they were there. I mean, it was Canada, Australia, New Zealand, UK. It was amazing. You know, if the Queen was on the money, they went to Narcopulco. I mean, it was phenomenal how many people, you know, of course, English speaking, it helped. But go ahead and tell the history of you and how you transcended into being down and starting in Narcopulco, would you please?
Oh, man, it's a very long story, but I'll try to keep it short. I'm from Canada. I had an internet company in the 1990s that was worth $240 million. And then a year later was worth nothing after the tech bubble collapsed. And so I read the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island by G. Edward Griffin, who's spoken at Narcopulco numerous times, and started to realize how the whole financial and monetary system works and really kind of started to wake up to everything. That was just right around, the thing that caused my tech company to collapse mostly was 9/11, which I have to say I'm ashamed. It took me a couple of years to actually figure out what was going on, but that was like 20 years ago, and I was just waking up to everything. So I woke up to central banking first, and then I started realizing that 9/11 wasn't what they said it was, and watching people like Luke Radowski's videos, then I just kept looking into everything, and I've been basically doing that up until now, looking at every single thing, and everything you look into, it's a whole rabbit hole, and everything turns out to be a lie, what they're telling you. So I guess after I sold the internet company, I tried to sail around the world, and I sank my boat in El Salvador, and then I just continued on to about 100 different countries. And then I ended up here in Acapulco, Mexico, and Actually, what it really was I adopted my daughter at 3 years old and realized I should actually do something instead of just traveling around the world partying the whole time. So I thought, what do I want to do? And the thing that really I wanted to do was a financial newsletter, the Dollar Vigilante, to really tell people what I've learned over the last 10 years at that point in 2010 about central banking and Austrian economics and how things really work. So I started that in 2010, and I was really into libertarianism. Doug Casey was the first person who told me I was an anarchist in about 2002. And so I was into all that stuff, and I started the Dollar Vigilante, and I decided, you know, there's not enough shows out there, especially on YouTube with video, that are talking about anarcho-capitalism or voluntarism. So I started Anarchast in 2011. We did about 500 episodes over the next 10 years, and then I handed it off to Patrick Smith. But along the way, I was going to libertarian conferences, things like Freedom Fest, Pork Fest, and numerous others, Libertopia at the time. And someone just suggested, Jeff, why don't you do it in Acapulco? You know, you talk about how you go to the U.S. and it's like so unfree in so many ways, and it's so much freer in Mexico. Why don't you do an anarchist conference in Mexico? And at that point, there really hadn't been anyone who said they were doing an anarchist conference. Of course, the anarcho-commies aren't organized enough to even have three people do a conference or show up. So the anarcho-capitalist in me started it up. And that was 2015, and you were at the first one. I remember you there, and that was about 150 people, and it just grew from there and ended up in an HBO documentary with a bunch of the people dead.
You know, that was one thing. Let's talk about that a second. When the HBO, the Anarchist series started, there, of course, I got a lot of calls and, you know, and emails and stuff, who saw you in the whatever. And I go, okay, well, I go watch it, and I could – see, yeah, they were doing the job, but you have the producers and the networks, and they want to emphasize, a salacious drama of whatever, not really what it was. And so I just lost interest. You know, did you watch all of the episodes?
Oh, yeah, I definitely did, because I wanted to see what was in it, because I had no idea really what was in it. It definitely was never meant to be and wasn't going to be like a seven-part documentary on HBO about how great anarcho-capitalism is. It was actually some film producers who had been coming to Narcopoco since around 2016, I think. And they found the entire, all of our sort of community and our thoughts to be incredibly interesting. So they just started filming people. And some of the people they filmed at the very start were Lily and John and Nathan Freeman. And it just turned out that both of them died in the last few years. One was shot and one, unfortunately, looks like he might have drank himself to death. So then they had a story to sell to HBO. But I was pretty happy at least about the first episode. It really, for the first time, got our style, anarchy, anarcho-capitalism, voluntarism, into the mainstream media. And it actually gave a good, it showed what it really is, which is the first time we've ever had that happen, I think.
Yeah, no, I was not dissatisfied with the first one, but I could see they, you know, once they started focusing on the drama and so on, they're missing the point. You know, there's always the drama. And the one thing is that anarchy has rules. It just doesn't have rulers, you know, and to emphasize that mindset is hard to do without experiencing it. You know, that's one thing that I've been real adamant about with my friends and supporters and so on, and fellow activists. You gotta go to these things. You know, you gotta go to some of these festivals. Certainly, anarchist ones, to see how people can live together, what they're focused on, what they're looking for, the relationships that they build, the friends that they make. This year has its own kind of theme. Were you instrumental in kind of structuring that? Did you want to have certain speakers or certain relay? Tell us what people going can expect.
Well, I've always tried to have other people run the conference because I have all kinds of other things to do, and it's actually super hard and not fun and not easy to run it. So since basically year two, Nathan ran it for a few years, then Nathan tried to sabotage Jessica. Everyone thought she was a status Nazi. She wasn't. So she was run out. And then I found Katarina Bonadine, and she's been doing an amazing job of getting everything all nicely organized and running really well. And so I actually don't I try not to really get very involved at all. However, I usually get involved on a few things, and that's usually on a lot of the speaker choices, not all of them, about, you know, most of the bigger ones in general and some that I just know about. And the other one is the actual theme. So I did come up with the theme. You know, everyone's talking about the Great Reset, Satan Klaus, the World Economic Forum, and they want to do their Great Reset. And I see Anarchapoco as the exact antithesis of Davos. So we called ours the Great Resist. And I should let people know that the word resist isn't necessarily like a negative sort of connotation word. Some people might think, oh, if you're resisting, then you're giving them power. But one of the definitions for resist is actually to stay unchanged in the face of basically the world trying to change you. And that's the way I see it. And actually, I think even more than that, I think not only staying unchanged, but actually improving ourselves. And that's really what Anarchapoco has turned into over the last few years, is a place where a lot of people are working on the self-work on themselves to change the world to be the place they want it to be by becoming that change.
You know, this is one thing I was talking to, you know, some of the other speakers, and over the past, certainly, you know, going into 23, this issue, and you can help me with this. What I see happening is a lot of these festivals, it's a good example, Pork Fest, Porcupine Freedom Festival, how it started. It's around, you know, Ron Paul Revolution years. They find out about Free State Project. They go to this, and they're like, dude, you can walk around in the grass barefoot smoking weed with your AR on your back, and dude, inhaling, dude. And then a few years go by, they get married, they start having little kids. They're like, dude, man, relax, you know, bring it, go smoke it over there. So it starts to mature a little bit. They start to focus on, you know, the rest of their life, not just the freedom to just, you know, hang out and, you know, fight for my right to party kind of deal. They start to get more mature. They start to get more serious about a longevity and raising the next generation and, you know, like healing themselves, you know, emotionally, spiritually, physically, you know, and Anarchapoco has a lot of that in there. And I'm wondering, what level of maturity do we have for the anarchist ideology and, you know, people that come together, you know? It always seems like you got the couch surfing, beach hammocking, you know, povertarian crowd, you know, that, you know, are welcome, you know, they come. But then it starts to mature and it starts to bifurcate. You know, you start to get, you know, the younger kind of, I just want less response. Oh, it's too costly. Oh, it costs too much. I can't believe you guys, we're going to do it on the beach for free or whatever. Then you have people with resources that travel from around the world to meet these kinds of people because they have a shift in their mind. And I'm wondering, is there a competing with that? Is there a detente between? Is there a bifurcation? Is there a separation? What do you think the future holds in the anarchist space with that kind of in mind?
Well, one of the beautiful things I see in this sort of movement, if you want to call it that, is when I was doing the show Anarchast, I'd have people from every walk of life possible. We're talking Christians. You know, I didn't have Satanists on, but I probably could have. Just every sort of walk of life, every country, every skin color, men, women. I think I even had a transvestite on once, all talking about anarchy. And that's the beautiful thing about it to me, is like, everyone can and actually should be, if they want to be moral and not be in favor of human slavery, they should be an anarchist. And that's actually been one of the biggest sort of struggles at Anarchapoco, is trying to make all these different diverse people fit in. And I think we've done a pretty good job of it. You were there last year. Everyone seemed to have a great time. And you've got probably some billionaires there. You've got some people who have saved up and like hitchhiked to get there. I've seen some people hitchhike to Anarchapoco. We get around, and it seems to be that for a week everyone's just sort of on the same page, and it works really well. Whereas a few years ago there was definitely some issues. I think the biggest issue was there was definitely a number of pretty povertarian type people who really had some commie stuff still in their head.
Yeah.
And so they would get mad about costs of things, or why you charge for this should be free sort of stuff. And really what we had to do is just raise the ticket prices, and we got rid of them, and now it's way better.
You know, that's always a thing. You know, they got to get rid of the idea that they're not owed something. You know, this entitlement mentality is, well, you know, thanks for doing all this work and spending all this money, now give it to me. You know, it's just, And the reason is what? What do you bring? And are you an add or a subtraction? Do you add to the community? What's the add to the... You say anarchist community. It's like, let's get a group picture. You know, a bunch of anarchists are like, yeah, you know, maybe I will, maybe I won't. You know, but the what's the add to this community? What would be an, you know, an add, a subtract? You'll leave that at home. You stay at home. God, we don't need that. What do you need? What's an add?
Yeah, and that's really kind of like how it's evolved over the years. You remember the first one, it was a lot of people drinking, which is fine if you want to drink. A lot of people still do. But we'd mostly be like, almost every talk that year I remember was all anti-government. Like, here's why the government's bad. We had the philosophical, we had the common sense, we had the, you know, every angle on economic reasons why the government's bad. And really, I think over time, I think the real evolution that's really happened is we've kind of all gotten a little bit past that. Of course, it's still a problem, but we are trying to, you know, there's a lot more to your freedom than just the government. You know, if you see someone, he's like 250 pounds, he's heavily overweight, he is not free from his own body and the problems he has and probably the traumas that are causing him to be that way. So a lot of people are starting to realize that freedom is more than just getting rid of the government in whatever way we hopefully and possibly can. But it's a, you know, freeing your mind, freeing your body, freeing your soul, a lot of spiritual related stuff. And that's really the direction it's headed. So it's changed dramatically. If you would have told me it changed into this when I first started it, I wouldn't have believed you. You know, if you said like that's the evolution of it, but it has been. And the cool thing is most of the people and even a lot of the speakers have all been evolving and changing over these years. And now it's a completely different event, as you probably noticed when you're emceeing last year and you kind of helped emcee the first year, the difference in how everyone's sort of changing.
Yeah, no, I've seen, you know, I'm 60, I'm almost 62. I mean, you know, I'm OG, man. I'm back in the day. And I started as a street activist. And what happened, you know, for me, it wasn't, it was always, if they only knew, they would free themselves. Because if they only knew, well, they know. Or if they don't know, it's a willful ignorance. So now I'm kind of at the stage, you know, well, it has been for years, of I'm not willing to use to get the best metrics, you know, using Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and Google and all that. Just now, I understand the argument. You reach out to a lot of people, but if they don't know by now, they're not going to. You know, the truth is out there. They just got to push the button or seek it. And a lot of the people that are in that mindset, they at least hear about or go or watch the videos or watch a lot of the speakers that we have at Anarchapoco, because it kind of funnels down to Anarchapoco. And some of the other festivals, we got Jackalope and Midfest and, you know, Pork Fest. I mean, there's a lot of these that, you know, kind of come up. But Anarchapoco is different in some way. Why do you think that is? Why is Anarchapoco? Because you embraced anarchy, because you're in Mexico, because you got to make an effort to get there, quality of speakers. What do you think it is?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I don't know. I think it's a bit of all of that, though. There's definitely something about coming. A lot of people actually have to make a pretty serious effort to get to a place that kind of like changes like the vibe of it. Whereas, you know, if it's in Las Vegas, a lot of people, it's pretty easy to get there. They kind of take it for granted a bit. But it's also in Mexico. So like we do, we have ayahuasca ceremonies, DMT ceremonies. At the event, we could not do that in a place like the U.S. So it's also got this sort of vibe of a lot more freedom in many ways, not every way, but in a lot of ways. You know, I think probably one of the top things is something basic. It's on the beach in Acapulco, Mexico in February. Like so many people who come are coming, like you said, from like, you know, the UK or the northern U.S. or Canada. And like they just want to get out of there for a bit.
You know, that's one thing. Let's talk about that. It used to be in Acapulco Bay proper, and now it's down the beach, you know, in a small community called Boomville. And I really enjoyed that atmosphere of being in kind of, yeah, it's still tourist Mexico, but it was during COVID. You know, they were fishing. you know, with nets so they don't starve kind of thing. The Marsh Orphanage that Anarchapoco has been very helpful, tens and tens and tens of thousands of dollars to make sure they're fed. I mean, you know, and it's more than that. The relationship that you have with them and understanding the truth of the world, helping them grow food, learn how to build, you know, the real stuff that we should be doing here instead of this tomato plant and a half pint milk carton kind of crap, you know. So this is something that is really a good expression of what we're talking about. And I want to know, now that you're at least the second year at Bonefield there, what impact have you had on the community, you know, the people there? You know, the groups, the politicians, the religious leaders, the businessmen, the businesswomen, the street vendors. Talk about that, the relationship you have with the community now.
It's actually our third year in the Secret Garden this year. So we held it in 2021. It was like 150 people. That's about all that could get to Mexico that year. It was so crazy. All the flights were canceled and everything. So, yeah, it's been in Bonefield for 3 years. And you know, Kat would be the better person to ask that because she's very involved in that. But she tells me about how that whole community is changing. I'm actually down, I'm closer to Acapulco. If on this image, I guess I'm, you know, Acapulco's down there, I'm here, and that's Acapulco that way. And so I'm sort of out here, so I don't see it all the time. But I hear it's changing the community dramatically. Max Egan just opened a bar called The Crow House or Casa de los Cuervos just down the road from there. I've actually noticed it because I had to go out there recently, and I hadn't been out there since last year. And a lot of new businesses. Looks like a little bit more upscale now. It used to be very, very down market. Yeah, so we see, you know, the Marsh Home stuff, definitely we've affected those kids a lot and really helped out the one woman who looks after 60 plus kids, which I still have no idea how she does it. You know, just that sort of a thing. But for the most part, in general, your average person in Acapulco still doesn't really know we're here. I think the HBO documentary might change that somewhat, and we'll see what happens this year. Because it's the first year we're having it since that documentary. But up until now, only people who were, you know, we held at the hotel, they knew about us. Your average person on the street really didn't know much about us.
You know, the philosophy, when they say they don't know that much about us, what is there to know? I mean, it changes, you know, management. There are people come in and out. You're kind of the constant. And a lot of us have just gone since the beginning. But there has been an understanding of what you're doing that I get. I want you to explain to the audience, what are you doing? What is it you're hoping comes out of this? What are the little tribes and off splinter group in the mountain, go back to Europe of whatever, you know, what is the seed you're planting?
Well, when we first started it, it was just to see if it would work. And it did kind of work. So we thought, okay, let's do it again. And my whole goal with both the Dollar Vigilante and Anarchast and Anarchapoco is to try to spread the message of freedom. With Dollar Vigilante, I spread the message of financial freedom, cryptocurrencies, precious metals, how to get around the system, how to actually make money using Austrian economics. With Anarchast, like I said, I found so many great anarchists. Had no platform whatsoever. And so I started basically an interview show to get these people known. And then the whole goal with Anarchapoco at the start was to have a good event, because there was no real anarchist event. There was Porkfest, but that's not really. There's some kind of libertarian status there. There was Libertopia, but no one went to it for whatever reason. Freedom Fest is a lot of conservatives and status. So I wanted to have an event that we could, you know, just have for ourselves, so that we have a sort of a grounding point at least once a year where a lot of us get together. The main goal was to make anarchy look cool or make it look good. We spend a lot, people don't realize this, especially the people who complain, on like cameras and lighting and the stage to make it look as good as possible, almost as good as like a TED talk, but outdoors, because I want these things to look great for people who are just found out about it and looking into it. So the main goal for many years was just to help this movement keep going, basically. And like I said before, there's so many different kinds of people. It was really hard. It's still really hard. And the only difference between me then and now is now I don't really care. I don't care if it works. You know, like if it works, great. If it doesn't, I don't care. I put in, like, this is our 9th year. It's been hard as hell every year. We make no money. And so, like, you know, if we don't, you know, get continued support and stuff like that, people coming to the events, I don't really care if it continues at this point. It's been a massive amount of work, a ton of stress. Every year, numerous people got to attack us or me for no reason. Like this year, Chris Sky apparently didn't get invited to speak. So he did like 10 videos on how I'm a scammer. I work for George Soros and, you know, all the usual stuff that I just keep getting attacked when I'm trying to help this community. And that's actually been a part of my personal growth, is not being attached to the outcome. In the beginning, I was on a mission. We had to make anarchy like the world default within, you know, a certain amount of years. And now I'm like, I'm going to work on myself. I'm going to do my things. And if those things work, great. And if they don't, great. I don't really care at this point.
You know, it's not that I don't care. I'm, you know, I tell you, Jeff, what happened was, when we first started doing it, my wife and I and our 4 small children, I'm in my late 20s and the late 80s, and I realized what the hell? These guys are lying sacks. I saw behind the curtain, and I was like, this is not going to go well. And my thought process was, by the time our kids are our age at that time, which was 2016, I go, by 2016, it's going to be a totally different country. We have to have a seed of understanding of what wicked this way is here. I mean, you know, and but once that happened and we got to 2016 and all the, I mean, it's just more the same. It's just fear porn. And the solution has always been the same. You know, it's decentralization down to the individual. That's why this show is Declare Your Independence. The purpose of government, defense of individual rights. Doesn't do that. It's time to alter or abolish. It's your right, your duty. Boom. Sign me up. Okay. So the thing was, is that now I'm looking at, for the past few years, we've really been focusing on solutions. And a lot of it has been technological. I just wanted to be able to store files, ones and zeros somewhere that would always be available, that could always be accessed, that could never get censored, so on. So we've come to be able to demonstrate that with several different platforms and things that we're doing. Now, it's not the traditional big giant audience thing, but that was never my goal. My goal is for us to be able to communicate when they don't want you to, okay? And they don't want us to. Here it comes. You guys think purging, you know, is bad now. It ain't got started yet. And you wait till we have a war. You wait till we have an economic collapse. And then you don't got to wait very long after that. They're going to shut you down if you're not allowed to talk. So we have to make it to where they can't stop it. So I am of the opinion that 2023, a lot of things have been, you know, centered around the start and end date of a Narcopoco, because, you know, I didn't want to get into a lot of contracts and negotiate a lot of things until after we come back in mid-February. So when we come back, boom, head down, plow, decentralize communication, our home, occupy the land. You know, I'm like, that's what they don't want you to have, is they want you in some big giant city with everything a body needs, gruel coming out of the plumbing in your shipping container down by the, you know, light rail system. I mean, you know, I can feel it. And now occupy the land. So that's a big thing that we're pushing. But what happens is, with whom? How do you do this intentional community thing? Everybody wants, we got to get together and build and kind of bid. Well, maybe I don't want you couch surfing in my living room. Maybe I don't want to be inside the fence compound. I got to have dinner with you every day. So how is your living your life there in an anarchist community? How do you define community? You know, is it mountaintops and you all share the same backhoe? I mean, I'm wondering, you know, what are you advocating as an anarchist lifestyle? You know, what is it that you would share with people that they should be using these contacts and this networking resource for them to advance their life in what way? You know, kind of give me a, you know, what's the goal here? Which country do you pledge allegiance to? I mean, you know, that kind of crap. You know, so, you know, help people out what the ultimate goal is for you and a lot of the people you think that are the best messengers there.
Yeah. It's kind of, for me personally, I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm just living my life, working on myself 4 hours a day, meditating hours per day. Really getting, make sure my family's good, my physical health's good, my mental, my psychological. I'm building a ranch, which I call a zombie apocalypse bunker. It's actually got bunkers. It's going to be ready for the full apocalypse. It's in the mountains, and we're going to grow all our own food. So that's what I'm doing. As far as Anarchapoco was never meant to really be like a pork fest, new state project or free state project. I never really had a main objective of having people move to Acapulco. What's happened though over the last 9 years is a lot of people have, because they come here, they like it. There's people already here that they kind of get along with, so they just stay. But that really wasn't my intention. But at the event, we're going to be talking about everything about self-sustainability, about you know, how everything health related, all kinds of stuff, basically everything so you can survive completely outside of the system. And as far as communities, like you're trying to do something there, you know, those are great. There's actually a lot of Kat's going to be talking about it, because she's actually done that where she lives a little bit, talking about how to create an actual intentional community. So we'll be talking about all that kind of stuff. And a lot of people are coming here. So we'll see what happens. But my main thing is you should really just be where you feel the best and the most free. If that's what's important to you. A lot of people is not, a lot of status is not, obviously. But for that reason, for me personally, Mexico's one of the best places in the world. They really didn't do any of the COVID stuff or anything. And, but you know, people can do whatever. So I think a good example of how we've changed though is, at the start, we were all talking about how we got to get rid of the government. And now you're out there, you know, doing the land thing, trying to create intentional community. I'm basically have this conference, but I'm also creating my own ranch. I'm going to grow all my own food. And I think in many ways, leading by example is a big help too. When people see that I'm doing that, it might inspire them to do that. But there's no real intentional thing about having people move to Acapulco at all. Just turns out a number have, like Max E has. But that's not really a main focal point of what we do.
You know, that's one thing, you know, people that, you know, immigrate from, you know, other countries, and Max Egan left right before Australia knocking on his door wanting to explain it to him. You know, I mean, he's like, and I'm out of here. And he's in Mexico. And then the bar that he purchased, you talked about, it was another expat that had that. It was very close to where I was staying at Casa Jaguar, you know, and I'd just go down there and you get a beer and a burger and kind of, you know, they had some live playing, you know, Colin's in there playing guitar and keyboard and, you know, whatever, just having a good time. And Max might as well bought it because he was kind of living there. You know, he enjoyed the bar. So
he literally lives there.
Oh, does he really? He has a place? Okay.
So like his place is like connected to the bar.
There, of course. You know, so he really liked that vibe, you know, just kind of hanging. So when I found out he bought it, it didn't surprise me. I didn't know it was public, though, so I wasn't telling anybody. Everybody else tells everybody, so I guess we can talk about it. But it's someone like that leaves other countries to come to Mexico just to be left alone. How left alone are the people that immigrate to Anarchapoco or the area there? Is it, who do you got to deal with? Is it cartel you don't want to mess with? You got some jefe you got to lay hands on, say, I know Jeff. You got to, you know, wear an Anarchapoco pin or, you know, I mean, how does it work? Because I'll preface it with this. When we planned to go last year, I didn't want to get tested or get back in the country or get, you know, the back of my eyeball tickled with a stick or any of that crap. So what we had to do is we drove to Tijuana, which Donna and I are going to do again this year. Probably don't have to, but I want her to experience it. So we go to Tijuana, fly to Mexico City, go to Acapulco. Come back, boom, walk across, you know, or drive across the border, you know, no muss, no fuss. I didn't have to go through a bunch of crap. as we were doing the research with Mexico and what their conditions were, the paperwork and the translations, I'm not really sure, but it kind of went like this. The international community is making us fill out, and, you know, we know who's on the plane, and kind of if somebody, a bunch of people get sick, where we really don't care. It goes into the trash later, and, you know, do what you want, peace out, and we, you know, dealt with the minimum requirement of international whatever. So that was the impression that I got, and then a lot of times they just didn't care. What is the truth?
Well, as far as the government goes, yeah, it's very hard. They hardly do anything. They never did anything for the COVID stuff. They tried to actually, I don't know if you know this, they tried to say the beaches in Acapulco had to be closed. This is like 2 years ago when everyone in the world was doing crazy stuff. It stayed closed till about noon, and then everyone said, no, we're not doing this, and then it was open again. So that's pretty typical of Acapulco. As far as like Mexico in general, like so many people have so many misconceptions about it, and especially anarchists too. It's kind of funny because really what you have in Mexico is a lot of people who are pretty much anarchists like us. They don't like the government at all. In fact, they often kill people in the government, and that's usually what's on the news. And usually what they'll say is, oh, it's cartels, but the cartels are all bad. And they've had like millions of cartel movies about how bad they are. But in general, cartels are just communities of groups of people who hate the government and want to do their own thing. So they're pretty much exactly like us. And as far as coming, sorry, my dogs, I got 10 dogs in the house.
That's all right, don't worry about it.
You know, if you come to Mexico and all you're doing is just living your life and not bothering anybody, the chances of you having a problem is pretty darn close to zero. You know, John got shot here, but he was also very involved in drug stuff. And he also lived in probably the most dangerous ghetto of Acapulco. Sort of a poverty mindset sort of thing, unfortunately. But so, you know, living in the worst area, being a gringo, and he is actually, I hate to say this publicly because, you know, he's passed away. I don't want to talk badly about him, but there was a lot of people saying that he was causing problems with his neighbors for whatever reason, telling them to turn the music down, which in Mexico you do not do. They look at you like you're insane. As you know, they love loud music in Mexico. Then he's also involved in the drug trade, and that's the number one thing. Just don't be involved in the drug trade in Mexico. It's a one easy rule to remember, and you'll have no problems whatsoever here.
Now, you can be a customer, just don't be a manufacturer.
Yes. Oh, they love the customers. No problem. Don't try to sell.
Well, you know, that's another thing you find out. People looking, you know, they fly down there and they want to, you know, get some marijuana or something. You need to find some local to talk to that you know and trust, that they even know where to buy. You go buy the wrong guy, hell, you get in the wrong cab. I mean, you got, hey, man, it's our territory, you know? So they're pretty forgiving of the gringos. I really enjoy it, and I know just enough Spanish to be able to talk to people, you know, the taxi driver and the maid and the concierge and so on, to find out what happened there during COVID. And it was amazing, you know, because it was so heavy tourist-centric. Yeah, when that went away, man, that's, you know, the orphans be starving kind of thing. So it's been, how is Acapulco as a economic engine seen there? You know, all of a sudden the, you know, the beach houses shoot up in price, but I, you know, how is it that you guys are welcome in Bonneville? You know, tell us about that relationship.
I actually don't think many people really even know about us, and we're not that big that we affect the tourism industry dramatically. Although I will say, on the couple days before in Acapulco and the couple days after, pretty much all the planes are full with our people. But it's not like so big. Like Acapulco hosts major events, major concerts, major trade events with, like, you know, hundreds of thousands of people coming here. So we're small fish here. But in Bonneville, we're definitely changing that area,
right,
a little bit because of our thing. And in general, the people who do know us love Acapulco and love the people who come to it. Most of the people, not all, but like most, go to a restaurant. They're fun. They're happy. They're nice. And they tip well. And that's all you have to do in Mexico to get everyone in town to love you.
Okay, let's talk about the transition internationally. You know, a lot of the things that, you know, we talk about there, and the speakers are emphasizing what's going on in their part of the world and what. But let's think a little bit more globally. Anarchapoco and the anarchist philosophy, and it's not everybody's up there talking about anarchy. That's not what they're talking about. They're talking about freedom. What did they do with their freedom? How did they get more freedom? What are they offering in their local community of how they're leading the example of what, and they're welcome at Anarchapoco to share these concepts as an inspiration to the people that go, and they take that back with them. But the thing is that they're in this atmosphere of a global, whatever the hell is going on. I want you to define that in your opinion from your, put your dollar vigilante hat on, and you know, and you know, what are we looking at? What wicked this way is here? You know, what's this next year? I'm, you know, I get back from Anarchapoco. I'm sure that I'll get inspired even more, a lot of things that I have in the past, but I'm head down plow infrastructure getting ready for zombie apocalypse. Are you freaking kidding me? And I'm not looking for an intentional community inside my fence line. I mean, you can be in a community out in the valley that we have and got and whatever in the desert of be my guest and have a neighbor, but this be my fence line, you know? You know, ring the doorbell. You know, so I'm just looking at what is it that we're up against? The philosophy has been really good. At, you know, when I first started doing radio in 03, they go, what are you, an anarchist? And I'd be like, call it, I'm going, compared to what? What we got now? That's my choice? This crap or none? I vote none. You know, I mean, seriously? So what are we facing that we have to prepare and defend against? Go ahead. Is it ideology? Is it a group? Is it a thing? What do you think?
Oh, man, there's so many different ways to look at that. From one perspective, as I'm sure you know, because you were doing this well before I even knew what the word libertarian meant, or anarchist really meant, is the amount of people who have woken up to what we're talking about in the last 20 years, and specifically the last 10 years, is absolutely massive. I remember when we first started Anarchapoco, basically everyone who spoke there was all the people that I knew of who were like proponents of anarchy that were good, like real anarchy, not communism, that were good speakers. And now like we have to like choose between like hundreds of great people doing amazing stuff. You know, I remember I asked Larkin Rose, who's one of our speakers there, that on Anarchast in like 2011, do you think we'll see anything close to true freedom, true sort of anarcho-capitalism in our lives? He said no. He said not a chance. And now if you ask him, he'll say yes. It's totally possible. He could see that happening in the next 10 or 20 years. It's but, inevitable. You know, then we have the whole massive system, the matrix, whatever you want to call it, is so massive now. And it's, you know, when systems get that big, they also collapse. They just can't continue. And that's really where we're at. From the dollar vigilante angle, they're printing up tons of money. They're also going into massive amounts of debt. Like debt I never thought was even possible. It's all happening now, which means we're basically nearing the end of this financial and monetary system. And that's going to happen in the next few years. And basically, they know that as well. So they're doing their great reset. And their whole idea is, as everything collapses, to lock everything down, make it all into a police state. We'll give the slaves their CBDCs, their central bank digital currencies. We'll track everything they do. They can only buy so much, or they might hurt the weather. And put them into the little smart cities, the little 15-minute cities. They can't travel unless they pay a ton of money for some carbon credits. That's what they want to do with this collapse. What we want to do in general, we're all different. We're all anarchists. We always have different ideas. In general is to see the system collapse, and hopefully people don't ever build another one again, and learn how to really live a life of voluntarism and anarchism in a way that like many people just don't even understand. Your average person, your average status doesn't even understand how life could work without the government. So that's been a part of what we've been trying to teach people and show them the different ways that this can be done, even with smart contracts and all kinds of stuff, and different ways you can set up communities and societies. So that all that's going to be happening in the next few years. And I'm not talking 10 or 20 years. I'm talking this year or next year. If something so massive that we might not be able to ever talk again doesn't happen between now and 2 years from now, I'll be shocked. This thing is speeding up. We're at the very edge of the collapse. And My general thinking is there's going to be pockets and areas like Mexico will mostly be kind of like a free place again. And probably Texas will be too. Maybe Arizona. There appears to be a lot of freedom-minded people in Arizona. So maybe Texas, Arizona, Mexico is kind of like an ANCAP sort of a known area. Then you have a place like California. They're probably going to double down, lock everyone up, put them on the CBDCs. Countries like Canada, Australia, that's why they're doing all this stuff. They're putting the things in place to lock everything down and to put this new great reset on everybody. But I think there's going to be various areas, and it could be where you are and what you're doing there, and it could be down here in Mexico, that we see pockets of freedom. Of course, Liberland is doing incredibly well. We're actually doing the opening for basically its office, its diplomatic sort of office in Mexico City, on February 2nd, we've got tons of people from Mexico, coming here. The Mexican government people are coming. We're doing, talking to them about, trade deals and all kinds of stuff. So there's tons of hope, but there's also tons of potential tyranny coming in certain ways to certain people if you're not ready for it. And really, that's really what Anarcopoco and even your show, I'm sure, is all about, is getting people ready so that they can survive what's coming in the next few years.
You know, the Occupy the Land concept is not about any one place. It's not even about domes. It's not about this, not about that. That's why a lot of the graphics are different styles. And the point is that it's a mindset. It's general public opinion. This is where Anarcopoco has been instrumental. I mean, they got a HBO freaking miniseries out of it. So they come in and they define what anarchy is. It's no rulers. I mean, you self-rule. I mean, there's going to be rules. I mean, it's kind of, rule one, don't be a dick. I mean, it's not that hard. So this is I'm looking for a, just like I've always done. I mean, a lot of people don't know a lot of the activism we did like 15 years before the Lovolution. But the Lovolution was just a manifestation of what we had been advocating for a long time anyway, decentralization of effort. Everybody was their own body. They could do their act. There was no central plan. There was no, ruling committee. There was no whatever. And it was really a lot easier with Dr. Paul being able to him articulate it. And we just go out and do the work and promote what he was saying. Well, Ron Paul has been a semi-regular at Anarcopoco, and now he's, speaking this year as well, right at the time that everything he said was a-coming, is now here. Here we go. And I want, are you trying to get your dog?
Yeah, I'm trying to lure Lucy over here.
Lucy, come on over, man.
Hard
you're
to
a
get.
Rock star.
Lucy, Ben. Oh, here she comes. All right. She's like, you gotta
say
announce
it.
Me. Lucy. Ben. There we go. How you doing, honey?
Lucy, happening. Taco, baby. All right. Now, so Ron Paul, speaking this year, he has spoken previous years, and he's really popular there. Him speaking this year, what's the significance of that? Is he, it's the end of the beginning? I mean, here we go. I mean, what's he going to be sharing?
Well, as you know, like you even started before really the Ron Paul Lovolution got started, and you were an integral part of that, which if you ask most anarchists today, like us, when did you realize this was a thing that you could actually, exist? So many say Ron Paul. So he really changed the game. And he woke up more people than anyone I know personally in the last 20, 30 years. So we had him speak at a number of events, and it's great. And it's great how he's like totally comfortable at an anarchist event. He essentially is an anarchist,
yes,
but
he's way
he plays in the system. Yeah, he played in the system, and people say, an anarchist can't be a politician. All he did was walked up, said, you can put a check mark on a piece of paper, and then he got in and he said no to absolutely everything. We need about 500 politicians in the U.S. just like Ron Paul, and we can get some major things done. But we actually didn't have them the last 2 years because, like I said, 2021, hardly anyone could get here. We didn't even know if we were going to do the event. We did it last minute, and like 150 people is all we could really have. We didn't want to buy in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people during this time when everyone was locking down. It would have gotten too much attention, maybe some problems, maybe they'll try to shut us down, even though it is Mexico, we could probably pay someone off, but that was a possibility. So we didn't have them that year. We didn't have them in 2022 either. It was still pretty small. We had about 400 people last year. It was still kind of like iffy on the travel regulations and all that kind of stuff. But this is the first year kind of really back. And back in a new way, as you know, because it's not the Princess Hotel. It's not the Grand Hotel anymore. We're in a botanical secret garden. There's going to be a cenote. You can sit in the cenote and listen to the talks. You can go for a massage, go for yoga, go for meditations, go do ayahuasca, whatever you want. Go have a drink. There's a free bar for the VIPs, or you can go buy a drink. You can do, you know, it's a totally different vibe. And actually, I totally love it because it was totally, we were forced to go there. We wouldn't have ended up there unless this whole COVID stuff happened. So the universe changed us all dramatically in the last few years. And it's actually made it so much better because, you know, you have the Princess, it's very corporate. They've got all these rules and, you know, a lot of people have problems with that. Like, you know, yeah. So now we're at a botanical garden. The guys who run it love us. They're basically part of our community now. You know, it's just a totally different vibe. And we have Ron Paul back for the first time because he costs a lot, in case people don't know. He's definitely profiting from all of his decades of incredible work now by having speaking fees and stuff like that. But we felt we could afford it this year. So we're having him back. And it's the first time he'll be speaking at the Secret Garden. So that should be a pretty cool vibe.
Yeah, no, I you know, of course, you know, I know Dr. Paul and if you sit down and talk to him just one-on-one, he's way more anarchist than people realize. You know, and so is G. Edward Griffin. G. Edward Griffin is a freaking anarchist. You know, he calls it a protectorate, you know. But, you know, any kind of government, if it's not protecting, it's not doing its job. So this is, I'm really, you know, next few minutes, you got another 5-10 minutes you got to go or?
Yeah, I can do 5 or 10.
Yeah, just round out the hour because I wanted to give you an opportunity to kind of, I mean, I got a list and we're showing, you know, on the stream, you know, a list of a bunch of the speakers. But I'm not getting the impression that it's bunch, everybody be anarchist, you know, hit the land and go out and be in anarchy and bypass. Or is it more a lot of self-work or is there an effort to try and recruit? Is there an effort to try and fix? Is there going to go vote harder? You know, what do you think the solutions? You know, we do a regular show every other week with Corbett and I, and the last couple of years, we've really been emphasizing solutions. You know, what are we going, solution? Well, we got this real problem. That's a big idea. Solution. When they talk about the national debts or the government debts, it's not my debt. I don't give a crap. You know, I mean, you know, that really sucks for you guys. You shouldn't do that. So it's been, you know, crypto plays a role in this. All of a sudden now in Europe, we got, yes, the banks can have 2% their holdings in crypto or whatever, which means they can do whatever the hell they want now. And then you have Bitcoin becoming GoldmanSucks.gov coin eventually or something. Or, you know, then we have a lot of these privacy coins. And we just have a story going up today on freedomsphoenix.com that is, Biden makes an announcement he wants to hunker down on all these privacy coins. They're like, nope, nope, you're doing it wrong. So I can see that anarchy, you know, anarchist philosophy, black markets, leave me aloneism, you can't see the communication, all these decentralized communication platforms that we're emphasizing. I mean, we really pushed IPFS. That became a thing. Now we're over at Bastion, Cordal, you know, a bunch of these that we're emphasizing the traits of being able to actually have an anarchist society and that it not be one place. It's the whole world. Hell, be a freaking moon. I don't care. You know, this is going to be the manifestation, a lot of things that you've been talking about that are talked about at Anarchapoco. And I'm going, you know, how close are we? Because when this economic thing goes, the petrodollar's going, Saudi Arabia, we never thought that was going to happen. You know, the BRICS got their own payment system. They're going different cryptos. We got privacy coins that are at. You know, I'm feeling it right breathing down our neck that it's going to be an anarchist society whether they like it or not. So I just, you know, how do you see that manifesting?
Yeah, like I said, I think it's going to be different parts of the world will do things differently. It's going to be wild and crazy for sure. You brought up earlier that what if a war happens, or what if the banking or financial economy completely collapses? What will happen in the U.S.? And both of those things will probably happen in the next year or two. Like, right. It's pretty much baked in the cake, especially with what they're doing in Russia
race.
Right now. And yeah. So, you ask, at the very beginning, you asked, are we there yet? And I would say, I don't know about you, but I am. Like, I'm already there. And you are too. I know you are. What you're really asking is, will everyone else in the world get it? No, they won't. A lot of them are getting killed right now by the lethal injections. They're being wiped out in a massive genocide because they don't get it. They don't understand what's happening. So there's going to be so many. It's going to be so interesting. I have to say, like, when I first thought about basically the apocalypse, this is basically where we're about now, like massive genocide. They're about to do nuclear war worldwide, all this kind of stuff.
All I used to think it'd be
horrible, and so far I used to think it's going to be so horrible, and so far, and like maybe it will be horrible in the future, but so far it's been awesome, and so many opportunities and things popping up and people doing different things because of all these massive changes. We're definitely in a period of, like, if there's history books after this, and I kind of almost hope there isn't, because it's usually the history books is his story, and it's usually because it's, some sort of governmental type thing that's trying to control all the information. But if we get through this and people do talk about this in the future, I think it'll be looked at this period of time over the next few years and since 2020 as the most unbelievable time in human history in so many ways. And there's going to be, in bad ways, there's going to be hundreds of millions and maybe billions dead. In some ways, it's going to be incredible. And for some people, there's going to be opportunities as well. The world's really waking up to privacy coins. Monero's like doubled the price of Bitcoin in the last year. It's been the best performing cryptocurrency, I think, in over the last year, which is incredible. So people all over the world are starting to realize, as they hear about these CBDCs, they go to Monero. So as they push, other things react or resist and pop up. And, I think this has kind of been human history forever, really. I think if you really look at it, that's how it's always been. These two opposing forces, the tyranny and the freedom. And, it's changed. If you go to Moscow right now, it's great. If you went there in 1975, it'd be like horrible. These things change, they move. I think it's just going to be very interesting to see what happens. And I'm actually like excited about it. And it's like, I'm like hanging it, like I have my popcorn ready. We're waiting to see all the things that happen over the next few years, and we'll see if we survive it. And if we don't, we don't. We're all going to die one day anyway, so I don't even worry about it.
It's not going to be smooth. They're coming after. This is Biden is warning against cryptocurrencies, especially those private ones, and the FTX scandal and all this, which is really a Ukraine money laundering, Biden, whatever the hell thing they're doing. It's so amazing that you scratch the surface and it's so much corruption. It's so bad. And I'm old enough to have gone through this before. This was the late 80s, early 90s, the savings and loan stuff. And that was just like a test market for them to be able to see what they could get away with. Oh, my God, $600 million. Hell, it's $600 billion. Hell, it's trillions now. I mean, it's just, man, we got away with it. Let's do it again. And again and again and again and again. To the point that it doesn't matter anymore. So I put all my stuff in crypto and silver. I just be up front. I just put it in crypto and silver. So when this pile of silver equals this pile of dirt, I make the switch. When are you going to do it? When I can do that. That's it. So we were going to do it last August, but land prices and everything just shot to the moon here in Arizona, and silver and crypto. And I go, I got a love bus. I'm good. We'll just hang out in that and travel the country a little bit more. Come back. Now we found the land that we want. Rock and roll. Now, the thing is that the infrastructure that is available for individuals to be free, which is why we did PiratesWithoutBorders.com. Pirates, we had the letters of Captain Mark and Reprisal, kind of thing. It was all of the technology that goes down to the individual to give you some LoRa devices that we're testing now. I have a 400-mile range, and it's a grid mesh network of kind we're testing now. Like, ooh, man, it's coming. So We have communication. We're working on the shelter part now. We did prototypes this summer up in Washington. You know, we're now building, got architect Sean Holman out of San Diego as a friend and listener, and, you know, he designed it for us. You know, you'll probably see, you know, some graphics. Well, the thing is that we can be an inspiration by doing and sharing the techniques and so on, which is what a lot of the speakers and so on at Narcopoco do. Here's how you can start your own co-op homeschool kind of thing. Here's how you grow food. Here's how you improve your health. Here's how you. Now it's up to the individuals to embrace that technology, those opportunities, and then go be an inspiration to their community, their families, or whatever. But this is what's happened, and I want to get you to comment on this before you go. I'm seeing that this wave of death, this death cult, it's not just about money. It's about control. It's about laying waste, depopulating, whatever. But what happened? All the people that knew they're bad, you know, these guys are bad. So what do? Those are the ones that didn't get the vaccination. Those are the ones that are going to, you know, improve their health, that thrive, that, you know, did antivirals and chaga mushrooms and took some vitamin D and vitamin C and vitamin, you know, and ate right and, you know, started growing their, oh my God, had chickens. So they're, you know, either making a bunch of money or not paying a bunch of money for freaking eggs. So I'm going, these are the ones that are going to survive. What the hell are you guys thinking? What are you going to have? You and your, I don't know, downtown, you know, woke freaking army of who gives a crap? You know, what do you think? And the culling, I remember in the 19, friend of mine and I were back east, and he goes, of just the atmosphere and how the people were acting, it was right before all this stuff started and the movie Joker had come out, you know, and then later right after that, Portland happens. I mean, man, they're predictive programming. There's something going on here. And he said, Ernie, there's a great culling coming. And the people that are being culled are not us. I mean, unless they come out with a gun, just round us up and shoot you or try and convince you. So this culling is coming. It's happening right now. You know, here we go. And I don't think we've seen the peak of the deaths. Now, of course, pharma's going to make a bunch of money on it or whatever. But after this kind of settles down in a few years, what do you think? We're going to be there and not inherit the world because we don't care? You know, how is that changing the demographic going to affect everything, you think, Jeff?
Yeah, that's the big question. It's something I've been wondering for the last few years as I look at everything going on is, what are they doing here? Because they're taking out most of the people that I actually have no problem that they're taking out. They're all the status, limtards, the people who listen to watch their television program and do whatever
drive you
it
to
says
the vaccine center.
The mind control. So, you know, I've actually even thought about this, that possibly people like Bill Gates is like Jesus almost. Like, he came here to rid the world of all the basically NPC robots and status. And, you know, they do say in the Bible, too, you got to remember this, the meek will inherit the earth. Well, we're going to be the only ones left, and we're the meek, which means we don't aggress against other people. And we treat each other in that way, just the same way as Jesus would. So, yeah, this is what I'm saying. Like, I think the future could be incredibly bright for us. For most people, it's not going to be. They're going to have like their daughters die, or their sons die, or their uncle, their dad. A lot of this stuff, either through the lethal injection or the other stuff they do, the poisoning they do via foods, chemtrails, fluoride in the water they've been doing for like 100 years. It also could be this war thing. You know, they could take out like a lot of people with that. So. But we're the kind of people who will be paying attention to that. As soon as we see it's getting hot, we'll be into the mountains, which is also what they kind of warned in the Bible that during the apocalypse, people will have to do. So I'm building my ranch in the mountains. You know, I'm just looking forward to it. It's incredible. And from our point of view, too, we've been talking about this stuff. You've been talking for like 30 or 40 years. I've been talking for 20 years. Most people still didn't listen to us. They didn't get it. But in the last few years, with their lockdowns, they can't fly. They have to be lethally injected. The government's just become outright. They've taken the mask off in many places. A lot of people are starting to get it. So it's going to be very, very interesting what happens next.
Well, I'm glad you started Narcopoco as the inspiration. I thought it was always going to be that you can, that these people do exist. They have a rational thought process. They're working on solutions, and a lot of it is yourself. You know, my health is pretty good. You know, I didn't get real sick or anything. And, you know, but driving a bus all over the country all the time. That's why this summer I did the prototyping and building like five different domes we did up there. It wasn't just about prototyping the building techniques. It was making sure I could be healthy enough to do it. You know, I'm like, you know, let's I get in shape, you know. So that's in the process, too. But it's a lot of it. It's us. And a lot of it's just how we think. And you can tell if you're eating good food, it changes the way you think or the ability to think. You know, it's like they're dumbing you down. It's intentional. Oh, they wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong. You know, so this has been a good experience over the years doing this. And I think we're in for another wave, you know, for humanity to express its survivability. You know, we're, you know, we don't need them. There is nothing that the governments have done, certainly on an international basis, United Nations evaporate and who would care? We are so much better off when they say, what are you, an anarchist? Compared to what? This? What we got? My choice is none or this? I so freaking vote none. You gonna make me vote? All right, that's my vote, none. I vote none, okay? Well, go meet a lot of the people that are asking the same questions, looking for the same answers, wanting to share their same experiences on Narcopoco. You go to Narcopoco 2023, resist. Resist what? Your death, your enslavement, your control, and not to be able to, you know, bring Generation Next into being ads to community, wherever you are. I don't care how much snow you got or don't, you know. I'm in Arizona because I promised Donna we'd be within an hour of grandkids soccer games. I mean, that you know, some people have criteria. Well, that's ours. But the thing that I'm really glad that we got to talk before this, Jeff, if you guys are thinking of going, now's the time. You know, get your tickets really easy, you know, just to get down there. Hell, there used to be a straight flight from Phoenix to Acapulco there for a while, but I'm looking forward to going and relax. It's going to be a lot of work. I mean, you know what, you know, MCN's work, but it's you get charged with the energy that's there from these people that are sharing the things that we need at the time that we need it. And there's going to be a special dinner with Dr. Paul that you can VIP up for. And Dr. Paul, I'm really interested after the time that we are now, what he's going, because he doesn't pull. You know, he's not, he shares, you know, he makes, you know, let me tell you exactly what's up. The first time I ever saw him in person was at Doug Casey's Era Society 3 weeks before 9/11 happened. And I remember asking him, I'm going, so what are you saying we should do? And this is all he said. He goes, buy a gun. Ding. I get it. You know, I was like, woo! Are we going to see that, Ron Paul, at Narcopoco? I hope so. So this has been awesome, Jeff. Go ahead and give out web pages and contact information and crucial dates and everything and where they can stream it. They can join. They can watch the videos. And you'll give out all that goodie.
Yeah, it's been great to talk to you, Ernie. Yeah, I would say you got less than a week now. It's exactly 1 week on the time that we're talking right now. Until it starts on Monday, February 6th to 10th, and actually goes on for another week after that. So you can get down. There's direct flights from Houston straight to Acapulco. You can otherwise fly through Mexico City. And then there's actually Uber in Mexico City. I've taken an Uber to Acapulco if you want to like get a nice Mercedes SUV or something. Or if you want to save up money, there's lots of buses. First class buses are like $40 or something. Or you could just take another flight. It's about a 50-minute flight from Mexico City. But if you can't make it, and there is still tickets available, so you still can come. But if you can't make it, I would say definitely check out the live stream. We try to make this basically the 10th. Like I said, Narcopoco is the exact opposite of Davos. And the Narcopoco live stream and videos are the exact opposite, in my opinion, of basically TED Talks. TED Talks has mostly globalists and statists. They put in some good stuff just to make it so it's not too obvious. But they have Bill Gates there talking about depopulation, Al Gore, all this kind of stuff. So we try to make an Acapulco like the one whole week of like TED Talks for like real good people with really good solutions who want to take over the world and leave you alone and also teach you how to do it. And so you can go to narcopoker.com, click on tickets, and find virtual ticket. You don't have to watch it all live. You can actually watch it on your own time. So you can watch a video a day. And Ernie, you brought up the word inspired many times. And that's really what these videos do, is inspire you. It might not be every speaker. We've got, I don't know, 70, over 50 speakers, I think. And definitely there's going to be a few you just don't like. Well, don't watch it. But there's going to be a few that you didn't ever expect it, that's going to set something off in you, probably. This is what usually happens, and lead you to a much better world for yourself. So sign up for it. It's, I think, about $150, but you can watch it over like the next few months if you want. And you're also supporting the event. Like I said, we need support to keep running this. I know I sound like a PBS ad right now, but I'm not going to continue to lose money on this. And we just, you know, if you're a big freedom lover, if you're an anarchist and you've got some money and you wouldn't mind seeing some of these videos, we could really use you signing up, and then we can afford to even bring in more people next year and better people and all that kind of stuff. So basically, be the change you want to see in the world. Support the things that you think are doing good things with your dollar, with your feet. Come to the event. Spread the information. I hardly see anyone online ever mention it or tell people about it. It's almost like a Narcopoco's fight club. The first rule of a Narcopoco is don't tell anyone about a Narcopoco. One of the things to survive what's going to happen over the next few years is you personally, whoever's listening to this, you have to do something. You have to make a change. Too many people sit there and they hope Ron Paul is going to change it. Well, he has made a ton of changes, but you personally have to do something. And so get involved with Narcopoco, get inspired by all the speakers who come to the event, and be that change. Because if people who are listening to this don't do anything, there's not going to be any major change in the world, and it'll be Ernie on his little zombie bunker apocalypse ranch and mine in Mexico, and we'll just be eating popcorn and watching everyone die, basically, because people didn't do anything. And that's one of the things that the system, the Matrix, really wants to put into you. And that's why they send you to 12 years of prison as a child to indoctrinate you into obeying authority and how not to be creative, how not to think for yourself, how not to do things. Is because if more people realize that they can change the world, and I mean dramatically, every single person listening to this can change the world dramatically, but you have to actually do something. So, participate, be a part of it, and support, you know, all the stuff that you like, support it. And that's how you make the world a better place.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate you spending time with me. I look forward to saying hey to you and we can press and flesh. But I'm really encouraging the audience. You need to experience being around these types of people. A lot of times you could probably pick, you know, randomly from the audience and get a lot of your speakers. I mean, they are just, you know, accomplished people that make it down there, and they're looking for contact. As an activist, my thing is, as we did our freedom summits, you know, for years and so on, what happened was these people with resources are looking for people with ideas and energy and actually doing projects. They want to help, because what are they getting? All of these different think tanks want to, you know, charge them, you know, and they bug the crap out of them, give them a bunch of money, and then all they get is a chicken dinner every year with a guy at the podium talking about how many letters of the editor they got, you know, published in the Wall Street Journal, like, if that mattered. I mean, you know, what they need is to put activists, people that are doing it, people of like mind, and they combine resources and efforts, and things happen. I've seen it over and over and over. You should go and experience the camaraderie, the shared vision, and the inspiration. I like the word inspiration because it means you're inspired, you're self-motivated. You want to, you don't have to be made or anything. You're just doing it because you want to. Well, these want to people go to a Narcopoco. I'm just saying. Hey, thanks a lot, Jeff. It was awesome to catch up with you. And yeah, we talked to Ron Paul tomorrow, you know, so we'll have him on tomorrow. We got Andy Kaufman on later this afternoon. So we're working it for you, man. We're doing it. You know, and, you know, the audience is going to get shared, but it's going to be like, you know, getting the presentation. You know, go to narcopoco.com, sign up, and if you, you know, listen to one, you're still supporting this event that needs it. We're at the perfect time. Peace, brother. Thanks for coming on, man.
Peace.
recording stopped.